The 6 o'clock news with Don Hollenbeck will follow in a moment. Are you sometimes too busy at noontime to enjoy a full-course lunch? Here's a tip from a man who's busy all day at important war work. A sandwich and a glass of milk is all the lunch he has time for, but he likes to top it off with a bar of Peter Paul's Mounds. Gives him the energy and nourishment he needs. Tree-ripened coconut, delicious chocolate. Mounds are rich in energy, rich in nourishment, rich in pure eating enjoyment. Mounds, chocolate coconut Mounds. What a bar of candy for 5 cents. Now, Peter Paul, makers of Mounds, present Don Hollenbeck.
The American First Army is across the Rhine. At some point below Cologne, Hodges' men caught the Germans so completely by surprise that they crossed this supposedly almost impassable water barrier against very little opposition and in force. Supreme Headquarters says tonight a solid bridgehead has been established. We are across the Rhine to stay. This is the first time it has been breached since Napoleon's day. Although Headquarters doesn't announce the location of the crossing, the London and Brussels radios said tonight it was at Remagen, 29 miles below Cologne and 21 miles north of Koblenz, upon which Patton's Third Army is moving. There's speculation that the First Army may have hit so hard and so suddenly that it was able to capture intact the big five-span, double-tracked Ludendorff Bridge before the Germans could destroy it. There's also speculation that this crossing was an ambitious amphibious operation. Eisenhower once said it would be a major naval operation to cross the Rhine. The Rhine was breached at 4:30 p.m. yesterday, 11:30 yesterday morning, our time. But the news was bottled up until this afternoon when it was plain that the bridgehead was good and solid and that Hodges could follow up the crossing with plenty of reinforcements. It was hard news to keep bottled up, too. Word got around the Army in a hurry, and American officers were quick to say that this daring stroke threatens to outflank the Ruhr Valley completely and will shorten the war perhaps by months. With the Russians today reported only 25 miles east of Berlin, that one good heave, altogether, which Churchill spoke of the other day, seems to be beginning. The Germans still seem to be completely slap-happy about what's happening. Dispatches from the First Army front say that for the first 24 hours, there's been very little artillery or mortar fire against the bridgehead. Both the German 7th and 15th Armies are being trapped, perhaps 50,000 men caught between Hodges' First Army and Patton's Third. Said today by the German High Command to be within 10 miles of a junction, these two armies. A Third Army spearhead has reached Andernach, which is 9 miles north of Koblenz. And Andernach is just below Remagen, the probable scene of the First Army's crossing. Berlin, too, said today that two regiments of Simpson's 9th Army had tried to cross the Rhine in rubber boats south of Düsseldorf, but had been forced back. This is not, of course, confirmed by Allied headquarters. The First Army today also cleaned up about half of the city of Bonn. But before we get into that, I'd like to have you hear from a man who has just returned from the battlefront. NBC's Merrill Muller, who was with the First Army when it entered Germany. He has a most interesting and important story to tell about the buildup for this big event today. Merrill Muller.
The hot headline news tonight, the crossing of the Rhine River, is the culmination of the hopes and dreams of General Eisenhower's Supreme Allied Command. They have accomplished what they dared believe was possible, a rush against the weakened defenses of the Rhine with enough steamroller pressure to crash across the 400-yard barrier before the German defenses could be organized. But the background of this victory tonight, and a great share of the credit, belongs to those men who fought and died to defeat the Rundstedt Bulls in eastern Belgium last December. This idea to rush the Rhine River and cross it by sheer pressure and power, with or without bridges, was first studied last fall when we were bogged down. Even then, the Allied armies in Europe were 90 days ahead of schedule. The great and daring decision was made to continue a winter offensive to keep the Germans weakened and prevent their massing along the Rhine. But a hitch developed. The German Reserve Army, the 6th Panzer Army, was regrouping and refitting east of the Rhine. Somehow, that army had to be tempted into the open, west of the Rhine, where the Allies could get at it. Otherwise, we could never afford the casualties of defeating the German armies in the Siegfried Line while a fresh reserve army awaited us at the Rhine. The Germans took the bait even better than had been prayed for. A weakness in our western front encouraged the Germans out of their field fortifications to put them in the disastrous position of suffering 3 or 4 times the casualties of our Bulge defenders. On our weakened Belgian sector, the Germans, instead of attacking with one army, attacked with two, including their last reserves earmarked for either the Russian or western fronts. We butchered both those German armies, though for a few days the battle was touch and go. We claim only that we turned the Germans because our soldiers are superior. They have worked now to follow up the German withdrawal with sufficient momentum to carry us over the Rhine, despite field fortifications which now lack German manpower. Nevertheless, I caution against over-optimism. We have a long way to go. This bridgehead over the Rhine has to be consolidated even more. Rail bridges have to be built to support our attacks eastward. And as a last resort, the Nazis can always retreat into a southeasterly direction for the mountainous wooded country of Austria and Czechoslovakia and guerrilla warfare. Remember, too, the Germans can produce a new reserve army by stripping the Italian and Scandinavian fronts. This victory tonight, however, deserves your best praise for the generals and for the men. But let the fighting soldiers celebrate it if they can find time. For beyond this Rhine bridgehead, there are still heavy battles to come with its death and bloodshed.
Thanks, Merrill Muller. You'll be interested in this report from the London radio just heard here in New York by our NBC monitors. General Eisenhower has sent the following message of congratulation to General Hodges of the First Army. The whole Allied force is delighted and cheers the American First Army, who in speed and boldness won the race to establish the first bridgehead across the Rhine. Please extend my congratulations to all ranks. Now a word from Arthur Gary, and then the rest of the news.
A night worker on a war job says, along about 2 a.m. when I get a bit tired, I like to sink my teeth into a bar of Peter Paul's Mounds. No wonder. Mounds are a delight to taste and packed with refreshing energy. Tree-ripened coconut, rich brown chocolate. When you've been working hard and used up a lot of energy, a bar of Mounds peps you up, makes you feel better all over. Mounds. Chocolate coconut Mounds. What a bar of candy for 5 cents. Now, back to Don Hollenbeck.
At Bonn, the 1st Infantry Division of the 1st Army is in control of about half the town and is meeting stiff opposition. A few miles to the south, the 9th Division is cleaning out the resort town of Gotesburg, where Chamberlain made his plea to Hitler for peace in our time. For the first time, the Yanks are meeting with resistance from civilians, and Don Whitehead of the Associated Press says the battle for Bonn is much tougher than the one for Cologne. He quotes a prisoner of war as saying that the Germans had a guard at the western end of the Rhine Bridge with orders to shoot any civilians trying to escape to the eastern bank, and that only last night orders came from Hitler that Bonn was to be defended to the last. Don says there's too much shooting going on now to check up on what has happened to Beethoven's birthplace or the university, but judging from sections on the northwestern side of the river, Bonn hasn't been hit as hard as Cologne was. To make it a thoroughly dark day in the German fortunes of war, the Russians have driven to within 25 miles of Berlin on the east, a 10-mile advance from the collapsing defenses on the Oder River. This is by admission of the German High Command. Moscow is so far saying nothing about the battle. The Germans admit that Kistrin has been outflanked and that the Russians have reached the road hub of Salau, 25 miles due east of the German capital on the Berlin-Kistrin highway. The German High Command is said to have rushed SS suicide squads to defend Berlin's eastern suburbs, and Hitler has given the job of defending Berlin to a man high on the Russian list of war criminals for atrocities in Poland, a General Reinefert. On other fronts, the Russians have entered the eastern suburbs of Stettin, and in a new offensive toward Danzig, Red Army forces crossed the Nogat River boundary from East Prussia and advanced to within 13 miles of Danzig with the capture of Meisterwalde. Geography is a bore sometimes, but just at this point, a little geography about the Rhine may not be out of place. Until today, it had been conceded that the geography of the river was all on the side of the enemy, and in many ways, it still is. The river ranges in width from a quarter to a half a mile wide. The current is rapid during this time of year, and the water is from 5 to 75 feet deep. This depth is generally constant, so there's no one season during which a crossing may be made better than at another. From the Rhine's east bank, the roads into and around the Ruhr are well coordinated. And once the Ruhr is outflanked, Germany's only war potential is lost. There's low ground in the north, most of it fairly flat, or the rolling kind of country that offers no great military obstacle. In the center, the route from the east bank to the Ruhr runs through a deep valley. In the south, there are mountains and high ground, but even here, the country is crisscrossed with railways and good roads. At Buhl, which is opposite Bonn, and the likely scene of another crossing, there are hilly banks rising 12 or 1,500 feet above the river. The country north and east of Buhl rises from low hills into the mountains, but a river road leads up to the eastern part of Cologne, 25 miles away. From there, the highway continues to Düsseldorf and the Ruhr. Opposite Cologne, the river's banks in some cases rise as high as 1,700 feet above the river, but the roads beyond lead directly to the Ruhr, and these are those super-duper highways built by Hitler. At Cologne, the river is about a fifth of a mile wide, as it is at Düsseldorf, where the Germans today said General Simpson's Ninth Army had tried a crossing. At Düsseldorf, the east bank dips lower and could be approached with less difficulty than farther south. Now for a roundup of the rest of the news. In Italy, American and Brazilian troops of the Fifth Army are strengthening their positions in the drive toward Bologna. In the Pacific, the Marines are firmly established only 450 yards from the northern beaches of Iwo, and they now threaten to split the Japanese defenses in half. On Luzon, the Americans have quite a trophy in the person of Emilio Aguinaldo, now 76 years old, who's been a member of the puppet government under the Japanese. You'll recall in 1942, he called on General MacArthur to surrender. In Burma, Punjabi troops of the 19th Indian Division have broken into Mandalay. At Mexico City, the Inter-American Conference prepared to adjourn tonight with a formal invitation to Argentina to come into the United Nations fold with a declaration of war on the Axis. There are indications in Buenos Aires that the invitation will be accepted. It was described by the Foreign Office as courteous and honorable. At Bern, it's announced that the Allies have won important concessions from the Swiss government regarding the flow of supplies to Germany, and assurances have been given by us that Switzerland will be granted a share in the Allied victory. In London this morning, Carl Holton, 23-year-old American paratrooper, was hanged for the murder of a London taxi driver. He died without knowing that the sentence of his 18-year-old girl accomplice had been commuted to life imprisonment. Execution of the sentence was extremely unpopular with the British public, and a crowd demonstrated outside the prison gates. Here at home, the Senate passed a voluntary manpower bill this afternoon after restoring the provision which provides fines and jail sentences for employers who violate employment ceilings, and the measure is now thoroughly mixed up. Admiral Nimitz has paid a surprise visit to Washington. He said today a new command setup is being considered in the Pacific, and he hinted that an army man may be in command when Japan is invaded. Flood conditions in the Ohio Valley are relieved some today, but the Kentucky section of the valley is now in for trouble. It's estimated that 125,000 persons have been made homeless by the floods. South Carolina is the only state in the Union which doesn't permit divorce for any reason, and it intends to remain so. The legislature has just defeated a proposal to permit divorce on the ground that to do so would let down the bars to wholesale sin. The weather forecast will follow a word from Arthur Gary.
An officer of the Marines writes, quote, "One thing the boys always like is candy," end quote. And imagine how those Marines like to sink their teeth into a bar of Peter Paul's Mounds. Tree-ripened coconut, delicious chocolate, delightful to taste, rich and energy-giving nourishment. Next time you ask for Mounds, if the dealer happens to be out of stock, remember, that bar of Mounds you missed today may be bringing refreshment and cheer to some boy in the service. Mounds. Chocolate coconut Mounds. What a bar of candy for 5 cents.
The weather forecast is for clear and cold tonight, but warmer tomorrow. The temperature now, 48. The First Army has crossed the Rhine and established a firm bridgehead below Cologne. Unofficial reports say the crossing was made at Remagen against little opposition, and that a 5-span bridge has been seized intact, along with tons of German equipment. General Eisenhower has sent congratulations to all ranks. Hodge's First Army and Patton's Third Army are now within 10 miles of a junction above Koblenz. On the Eastern Front, the Russians have driven to within 25 miles of Berlin in a 10-mile advance from the Oder and are in the suburbs of Stettin.
Listen to Don Hollenbeck and the News every weekday evening at 6 o'clock. Today's program was presented by Peter Paul, makers of Mounds.
Don Hollenbeck brings you the news from the NBC newsroom in New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.